let's turn to the scriptures. This is Force of Faith, the Force of Faith, part four. This will probably be our last morning on it. And Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Again, we're going to just read the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do up here. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you are more than sufficient for today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for your goodness and your kindness. Father, we thank you for your long suffering with us. We thank you for your patience. And oh God, we pray this morning that your word would find that lodging place in every heart, where you would wing it home to, where you would deem it fit to be. And Lord, that you would take your word. And Lord, that you would use your word as you would have it to be so. Father, this morning we pray for everyone that's here. And there's some here this morning, Lord, who are just come out of surgery. Some gone through surgery. Some, Lord, will be in surgery even tomorrow. We pray especially for Diane at this moment and for others, Lord, who are sick and unable to be with us, and Diane, who will be in surgery tomorrow. We pray, Father, that you will bless her and encourage her, and Lord, keep your hand upon her. Among many others, Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would meet them at the point of their need. To that end, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to take your word, and oh God, that thy Holy Spirit, he would move upon hearts this morning, whether watching, listening live or later or in this place. And we ask you, Lord, that your word, Lord, we'd find that place, and if there's one or some here who knows not your Son as their Savior, even they, Lord, we'd receive that imputed faith given unto them, Lord, that they may be able to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And, oh, Father, we pray that you'd encourage your people, edify your church, and we pray, oh, God, in this place, Lord, that you would be glorified. Bless the children in the children's church this morning. Thank you for each and every one of them and for all the parents that bring them. And we ask you, Lord, that you, Lord, would just bless each little heart there, that you would have something said by the teachers there, that, Lord, would reside in them forever, Lord, and forever. We ask you, Lord, you'll bless the teachers and for the creche, for the babies there, Lord. We pray for the babies in the creche and for those who look after them, for their portion of the blessing also. So now to that end, bless thy word unto our hearts, Father, and we ask you to glorify your name. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. So, for the last three previous weeks, I know we were broken up for one of the weeks, we looked at the force of faith. I want you to understand what I mean by the force of faith again. It is when faith which has been imputed into us by the Holy Spirit, for not only for salvation, it is a faith that resides in us to cause us to walk right. God willing, I'll look at it in a few moments. And it's that faith which causes us when we are discouraged or we're hurt or we're disappointed or we're down or we're distressed or whatever, we're sick, we're unable to do and get up and move or whatever. It's that faith that Christ is living and is alive in us. It's that faith that enables us to get up and go on with God. And whether we physically can't get up, it enables us to keep trusting, to keep believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he not only has paid our debt of sin, as the pastor said earlier, but that he is alive forevermore. So we want to look, and that force is, it is something that drives us on. It's something that encourages us on, that we might go on with God. Look, people have faith in different things. Without even thinking about it, we all have faith, as we sat in our seats, that they were well fitted with enough screws to hold our weight, didn't they? You never thought much about it. Although now I see with this Daniel fast that we're doing, I think I've lost a wee bit because my button's a bit easier to button. And my trousers and my shirt button actually went easier this morning. Alison says, I think I've put on weight. And a few of us have been talking about it this morning and think maybe we are losing a bit of weight. That's not what it's for. It's to draw closer to the Lord. And by the way, the prayer meetings we've been having, just prayer for an hour. And Wednesday night prayer meeting, the place was more or less packed. It was good, really good crowd in it anyway. Really good turnout. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, or Tuesday morning at 6:30, we will be back in the morning and Tuesday as well, praying for the Lord's presence, for the Lord to move, for the Lord to draw near, for people to draw close to God. But anyway, we have faith that we get on a bus and the bus driver will take us to our desired destination, don't we? We don't ask him. We know, well, he could drive anywhere. You wouldn't know it. But people have faith. So that's not the faith we're talking about. People have wishful thinking and think it's faith. That's not the faith we're thinking about or talking about. It's Holy Ghost birth faith. It's a faith which God imputes and adds in to our very spiritual man and woman. It's the faith in our very being that tells us that God is real. First of all, tells us that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Christ is the only one that saves. So it's that faith that we're speaking of throughout these mornings, what we've been taking these studies and this series. And notice, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that is, for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, it doesn't mean, some people have said, well, that means God must have had faith to frame the worlds. Listen, God doesn't need faith. He's God. This means it was our faith we believe that God created the worlds. It's our faith that the Holy Spirit has given us while others are trying to work out the origins of man, while others are trying to work out the origins of the universe, and they keep having to change it every single time they think they've made their point. But you and I know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's by faith that he made it all. And that he also keeps it all. That is, that he keeps everything in its place. He keeps you and he keeps me. He keeps the sparrow in flight. Isn't that what we spoke about last week? He even keeps the little sparrow in flight. But notice here, so it is through faith. So faith is, this faith tells us that our God is real. That our God is alive. It's not just when we gather here this morning or again this evening or even at the prayer meetings that we believe God is real. We're here because our faith tells us God is real or we wouldn't be here. Our faith tells us that God is still in charge and in control. Our faith tells us that God at one point and in eternity, we're going to stand before God as Christians even and give an account of our lives. Give an account as Christians. Not at the great white throne judgment, but the bema seat of Christ. But it tells us that those who have no faith in Christ, that they will stand before God, the judgment seat of Christ. And they will stand in a place of judgment. For without faith, we're told in verse 6, notice. But without faith it is impossible. And we looked at it last week, like a man who's crippled. Remember we looked at the man crippled from his mother's womb? He was never once able to stand. He couldn't stand on his two feet from his mother's womb. You know why? It's a picture of our inability to save ourselves. It's that picture of our total depravity of our human nature. That we have no hope, no chance, no way for us to save ourselves. And so, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is, through that faith that we spoke of a few moments ago, through that faith that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that Christ came and died for us, through that faith, it's that faith that we must believe that he is. We must believe that he exists, in other words. And if God exists, then you and I are in trouble without Christ. So the world tries to get rid of God because then they don't realize, because then they don't have the conviction that they have to live right. They have to accept God's Son, His fullness of His work, His finished work in Calvary. So they try to get rid of God. If they get rid of God out of their minds, well, they've no faith. And we looked at it in the first morning of what it is when there's no faith. Remember, faith is used English word faith now is used 247 times in the scriptures, your King James Bible. 247 times. But notice this. I mentioned the first time it was mentioned was in Deuteronomy 32. We haven't time to read it all again, but we extensively looked at it, and it looked at Israel in a national sense, and we can see it in our own nation this very moment. And it says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 20, and he said, as the Lord said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom there is no faith. And so no faith, as I mentioned last week, or was it the week before, the no faith in society, no, that is the faith in Christ, the faith in God, no faith in society of our Lord Jesus Christ, no faith in Almighty God, brings our society to a place where we don't want our society to be. It puts the nation, and it puts a family, it can put a life in on a trajectory that without faith, they can go to the deepest, darkest places. And look at society today. Look at the world. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're getting themselves now into a cul-de-sac. They don't know how to get out of it. And so we find here that Israel were, as the Lord looked at them, he says, I'll have no more to do with them, for they're very froward. They were perverse. So that's what happens without faith. Society drops. There's no moral standard of the Word of God. No moral living anymore. And every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Meaning, you can call yourself a dog and everyone has to like it and agree with it. That's where society is, without faith in the Word of God. That's where human beings find themselves. When they're away from God, there's nothing too low. So one man might find that pornography is all right. I've no problem with it, he might say. And another might feel it's horrific. One might say, it's okay for me to go out and get stocious drunk, like myself and many others used to do. Where someone else might think, you know what, I wouldn't like to get drunk like that. And they still don't know Christ. One might think, as we're heading down that road now, and our society is tumbling headward into hell, really, we're finding that people have no morals anymore. There's no moral standard. And that's what happens when the generations have no faith. That's what happens when there's no faith in society. And listen to many, even church assemblies, there's no faith anymore. Because they've accepted all the no faith norm. They've accepted the no faith norm to come in. When if they stand in faith, they say no. Thus saith the Lord. Do you know in the Old Testament, the word faith is only used two occasions. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 20. And the other one is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, if you'd like to turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. Notice this, if you will, verse 1. Notice what the prophet says, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon a tower. Notice, I will stand upon my watch. This is where the watchmen of the Word of God should be. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now take note. Behold, his soul is lifted up. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk from the Roman Catholic faith, was heading from Germany to Rome. And he fell ill as he traversed over the Alps, the mountains. And as he comes down, he falls ill, gravely ill. And God spares him. He could have went out into eternity without Christ, really. And God spared him. But when he got better, he still headed to Rome. And as he was in Rome, he was at the St. John's Lateran Church. And outside it, the Catholic Church had said there was a set of steps there. And for indulgences, they would receive an indulgence, anyone that went up the steps on their knees. Not walked up, but on their knees. And these steps were said to be, they said now, these steps were said to be the steps where Christ came down from Pilate's judgment hall. They were Pilate's steps, but the blood of Christ, they claimed, was upon these steps at one time. So Martin Luther recovered from his illness, goes on his Bernese, and as he's climbing up, while he was ill, he was reading the scriptures, Habakkuk chapter 2, and in verse 4, struck right into his heart, the just shall live by faith. And as he was climbing up, it struck his heart again, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. And Martin Luther says it hit him so hard, he said he was born again. He got up and walked down the steps he was meant to go back down on, knees, hands and knees. And from then on, the cry was, the just shall live by faith. And he writes his 95 theses, 95 articles wanting to reform. And reform means to make better by the removal of the faults of the Church of Rome at the time. He wanted to make it better. He wasn't going to leave it. He wanted it to change, to be biblical. And obviously, history shows us that he was cast out. And Martin Luther then nailed the 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral on the 31st of October, 1517. The just shall live by faith, and the Protestant Reformation began. Now notice this, if you will, in verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Notice the difference between these two peoples here. There's those whose soul are lifted upright. I can work my way. I can pay my way, I can do my way, I can X, Y, Z my way, whatever they think their way, and their soul is lifted up in them. It's pride. for the man and woman. Listen, and I'm talking about people in, from my own family background, in the Protestant background. Well, I'm all right the way I am. I'm okay. I have been christened as a baby. Being christened as a baby has brought more people to hell rather than infant baptism. Rather than believer's baptism. Because they think they're all right. Because they think they're saved. Because they think they're covenanted unto God. And that's the end of it. When the just shall live. What's the word? The just shall. Would you shout it out, church? That was pitiful. There's a few hundred people here and it's pitiful. The just shall. You see, the just is those who are justified will live by faith. Notice live. To live a life before God. To live a life before Christ. To live a life to glorify Him. And it's by faith saying, Jesus, You have paid it all. You are more than enough. The justified live by what Christ has done. The just shall live by faith. And so we have the two peoples here. Those who are saved, the just who live by the faith of God who has been imputed it to them. Saved because they believe that Christ has paid it all. And that refusing Christ, they're lost. And they are those whose soul has been lifted up within them and they are not upright, says the Lord. Can you see the difference here? This is the difference in this one verse. I'd love to dissect that a bit more, but time's running on and I want to get on. So this is the second time the word faith is used in Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 4. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 20, the nation has no faith. And now in Habakkuk 2 and 4, the just shall live by faith. So who are we? Which side are we? You see, there's a big contrast in those of faith in God, true, imparted and imputed faith. It looks outside of self. That's how you were saved. You realize self is nothing. Self is depraved. Self cannot save. Self will be in hell. But through the Holy Spirit, regeneration and quickening, self doesn't matter. We look outside of self and we see the living God. Faith tells me I'm a sinner. Faith tells me God who created all things is the one who became flesh and died on a cross that I might be saved. That's faith. And they just live by that faith. You see, we tend to look inside. We look at who we are. Faith tells us to look outside ourselves to who He is. To who Christ is. So the just shall live by faith. This is used 3 times in the New Testament, you know. Turn with me to Romans, please, chapter 1. Let your eye run down, if you will, to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen, church? Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Especially the day and hour that we live in. Don't be ashamed of Him, nor His gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God, notice, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So God leads us, you see, reforming as we are continually reforming. We're continually seeing our problems. We're continually seeing our faults. And according to the word, we continually reform. Plus, there's also been revelation of the word, which was continually opening to us throughout scripture. You know, even at the start, Martin Luther, he believed in the transubstantiation of the Mass. And then he changed, I think it was the consubstance, I might be wrong, consubstantiation, which means God is with us while we take it. But Martin Luther at the time, and I'm just using him for this scripture because that's where most people hear this from rather than the Word of God. So you get people who then, by the time you come to the Wesley brothers, they're preaching sanctification, living right. The just shall live by faith in God, sanctifying us. Time you get into the turn of the 20th century, you have the Jeffreys brothers coming, and they have the Pentecostal moving off the Spirit and the opening up of the giftings of the Spirit. And they're seeing it as you go along. God is revealing it, manifesting it, showing it forth, and it reforms us. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye. What's the word? Checking out your vocal cords this morning, aren't they? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your. You see, so your mind according to the word. So watch this then. Notice what it says. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So notice here that just living by faith has now escaped the wrath of God. Listen, I believe if you're saved, I believe that if you're saved, you're eternally secure. If you're saved. But you can't live wrong and die right either. You can't live wrong and die right. So this, if you want, Romans 1 and 17, it speaks of the justified man and woman. Go with me to Galatians 3, please. Let your eye run down Galatians 3, please, too. I'll just pick a couple of verses for time's sake. Let's go to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now notice, this is speaking about the curse removed, not the law. People say, the law is done away with. No, it's not. The ceremonial law is done away with. But not this. And the curse is removed for those who are saved, who are justified by faith. Now notice this. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. In other words, no man can be saved, no woman can be saved on their own efforts, even trying to keep the law of God. In the sight of God, they're not saved. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So now notice the difference. When you're saved, according to Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 33, the Lord says that he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It is then repeated in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. And he says that he'll not make it where it was on stone, but it would be placed upon the tables of our heart. So the law of God is within our hearts. Thou shalt not kill, murder, commit adultery, steal, lie. We can go on and on. It's written in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit fingers it every time we're wrong. And faith tells me, oh, I've sinned before God. But faith tells me, Jesus paid my debt. And I'm saved. And repentance before God that I may walk before him. That the justified shall live by faith. Notice, if you will, then, let's go to Hebrews 10. I'll do one more. There only is these three, but do this then. We have a few minutes yet. Hebrews chapter 10, please. And let your eye run down the chapter to verse. Let's go right to verse 36. For ye have need of patience. Who needs patience? See, especially in a traffic jam. I drive 50 miles to stop myself sitting 10 minutes in a traffic jam. And all someone would say to me, just sit where you are, not be long. And next thing I'm away, I'd go around to Port Rush to get the Bond Bridge. So I don't have to go to a traffic jam. So that's true. And if I think of something to do with God's work, I want it done yesterday. Lord, teach me patience. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, notice, after, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now he's taken this from Habakkuk 2 and 4. Now the just shall live by faith. Now take note, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Would you say draw back? So people think, well, that's them. If any man backslides God, then they're lost forever. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, the idea is to start to shrink in faith. To hide themselves. Cover it up. Maybe in work. Maybe at home. It's that God says they'd have no pleasure in. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. So those who are saved are not drawing back. Or they were never saved in the first place. See the man and woman who truly are saved. We all have our moments. We all have our times when we're, you know, we're maybe in company and we should have said, I should have mentioned, I should have talked. It's not really, it's not that drawing back, because we all have those moments. But this idea is someone who starts to shrink away because they don't really know him. And they hide. I give my life to Jesus and now, well, I don't know if I did or not. Do you know this, let's give it a try thing. You don't try Jesus. You surrender to him. Amen. You don't try him. You surrender your life to him. Okay. So, Hebrews 11. We're right beside it. Hebrews 11. While the word faith is only used twice in the Old Testament, faith is spoken of in the sense of looking at it the whole way through the Old Testament. The whole way through it. Faith was in use. Faith was manifest many times throughout the Old Testament. And Hebrews 11 here lays out some of the major biblical events and their accomplishments through faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Faith is the word pistis here. And it means a conviction of truth. It means a conviction in respect to man's relationship with God. How's your relationship with God this morning, brother? How's your relationship with God this morning, sister? So I've told you before, I suppose it goes both ways, but mainly, sister, you know when your husband isn't in good relationship terms with the Lord because of his attitude toward you. If I'm close to him, I'd be right with her. And if she's right with him, close to him, she'll be right with me. Faith is a conviction in respect to man's relationship with God. It is a conviction on the divine matters or divine things. We've talked about some of them this morning. Faith is a conviction of a holy fervor to live for Christ. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking to me about different things, and they says, do you ever find that some people you talk to, and you're not over, want to be careful. We weren't being over spiritual in saying this, but we're just talking in general. Says, there's some people you talk to and you just feel they just haven't grasped it. They haven't grasped hold of the word and faith. So as you talk to them, there seems to be nothing in them spiritually of Christ, other. I said, yeah, I do. All the time. And then there's others, you go, you speak with them, and they're just oozing the love of the Lord for them. His love for them and their love for him pours from them. Their adherence to their conviction according to what God's word says for them and their life. You know, faith doesn't take or leave. Faith isn't one foot in and one foot out. Faith can be weaker than others, at times than others. Faith is, Lord, I'm all in. I'm weak. But I know when I fall, I don't fall off the rock, I fall on it. Faith is a conviction, as I said, that God exists. Now, faith is a substance. It indicates to us the article is to be treated with, as I said before, it's not the definite article as in just the faith of one. It's faith that all of us have the same faith in Christ. Faith apprehends as real fact that which is not revealed to your senses. Say it again. Faith apprehends as real fact that which is not revealed to your senses. You can't smell it or hear it in the sense from natural things. Can't taste it you know, but you can. There's something in you. There's something in you, brother. Something of God in you. It's here. It's in the kidneys, even. You know, that's what the seed of understanding. But it's actually the kidneys here, up here somewhere, aren't they? Some doctor can help me out with that. Where's my kidneys? I think I still have them. Like faith. The scripture talks about the reins of the heart. The reins means deeper than your own natural feelings. The reins of the heart is right to the kidneys, it means. Right into the inners, the inner man and the inner woman. Faith is, Lord, I must, I want to, I desire to go on with you. Faith is, help me, Lord, I have fallen. Faith is, Lord, I repent of my sin. Faith is, Lord, forgive me for all my unrighteousness. Lord, help me to live for you. Faith does that. You know what the human frame does? Oh, just give up. Oh, I can't be bothered. I'll sit in a huff because I can't feel, put it in brackets, I can't feel God, so I'm just going to sit here. No, brothers and sisters, faith says, Lord, I feel like I'm dying, but I'm trusting in you. That's faith. Faith is, Lord, I feel like I'm lonely and I feel like I'm so far away, but I know you've never left me nor forsaken me. That's faith. Faith says, Lord, I believe you still save souls today. I believe you still heal the body today. I believe you still baptize in the Holy Ghost today. And I believe you're the soon coming King. Lord, would you come today? Because that's faith. That's faith. Will you buzz the children and let them come up, please? So I finish with this. Faith is a substance. See, the word substance is the word hypostasis. Hupo means under. Stasis means to uphold or uplift. You know, like if you're building a wall. Johnny, he tells about this. You're building a wall. It's a supporting wall. You have to support it, Johnny. Is that right? You have to get the stanchions up. Is that what you call them? And you get them up to hold the wall up. Faith comes and lifts you up. I'd collapse like the wall every day, but he lifts me up. I don't know how I would do it. If I was saved, I wouldn't know how I'd keep it. You won't. He'd keep you. He comes under with faith and he lifts you up. He carries you along. He bears you through it. This word, hypostasis, means to stand or to come underneath. It's a legal term and it means a whole body of documents bearing on the person's ownership of property and forming the evidence. Do you ever see they come into a court and they come in with all the papers? This is the whole case against them. That's the idea of hypostasis. This evidence spread out shows him guilty, shows her not guilty, or whatever way it is. Faith comes along like that, and it's like a legal document before God. It spreads before and says he's trusting in the finished work, trusting in the blood of the Lamb. He's saved by grace, sovereign grace, electing grace. He has saved for time and eternity, Father, because he's trusting in what I have done for him, says the Son. That's faith. God bless us this morning. May increase our faith. That's maybe a bad thing to pray, you know. Sometimes you say increase our faith, you think it's going to be the Lord gives you all this faith. Oh, you're just doing great. You believe God for everything. No, what he does is he puts you through the ringer. Puts you through the ringer, pulls you over the coal. And he brings you into the woodshed and slaps you with a 2x4 for a while until you're ready to receive it. And he says, now, do you want more faith now? Trust me through it. That's how you get your faith. So if you're going through something, keep trusting. He's building you in faith. God bless you. Team, would you come up, please?